You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Hey, we're in the cigar shop today. We're not in Kyle's backyard.
Yeah, you're in the backyard, but yeah. It's cold, kind of cold. I mean, cold is relative to 65 degrees.
Right, right.
But it is kind of cold.
And yeah, so. And there's rain and everything else because, you know, we're in the DFW area and it's springtime. So
it is springtime.
Man, good morning, everyone. Thank you guys for checking us out, knownlegacy.org, for all the information. You can get Bill's book there. You can get other information about our retreat that's coming up in September. So make sure you put that on the calendar. Bill, what's the data on that? Details?
It is September 19th through the 21st. So
fantastic.
Mark your calendars. I mean, guys, welcome to the Known Legacy Podcast. We're here to help men wake up, gear up, and come alive. Who God called them to be. So thank you so much. But man, it's good to see your face. I love seeing your faces. Even though they are ugly mugs, I love seeing them.
I appreciate that. You know what would be my, like, can you call my wife and say, hey, Travis likes to hear that every morning.
I will.
Just like, you know, hey, I like seeing your face today.
Exactly. I'll tell her.
That would make me
say, I love your face and all that it surrounds. I don't know if that even sounds good.
Anyways. No, it doesn't at all. So as always, you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, obviously your favorite podcast download site.
Yes.
If you like us, reviews would always be good. If it's something that's meaningful to you, share it with family and friends. Enemies even. Share it with your enemies.
Yeah,
you know what? We're good with that.
That's something everybody asks us. Like, how can we support you guys?
Loving is sharing.
This. Loving is sharing. Share this with your friends. Tell your friends. Subscribe to each of those places.
Right.
And share those with others. So,
the question that kind of gets us going today, I've been wrestling with this. My son has found some books that he likes to read, which is always encouraging. Like to
it
have
is good.
Kids that like to read,
yeah,
like fantastic. When you were growing up, and I'm talking about, you know, teenage to early 20s, is there an author? Or
so whether
we're
growing up or growing out?
Out,
is that
yes,
the thing?
Yes.
Okay, good.
What is the author or someone that you look back and you're like, man, his books really impacted me for good or for evil. It doesn't matter. But who's kind of like in that genre back then? Who would you say?
Kyle, who's your person?
So I'm going to go with Stephen King.
Yes.
Because that was really the first adult books I started reading. And it literally scared me so much to read those books. I would be terrified.
Yeah, I never wanted to use a paraffin boat in the water ever, like down the drain ever, because
you
I read
in the
it.
Bathroom and the shower curtain always seemed to be closed.
yes, never good.
I will say this, regardless of what you think about Stephen King or his political views or whatever, I will say, I think he inserted into a culture that's very materialistic the reality of a spiritual reality that we often can miss and forget. And obviously it's not true. It's not biographical, but
yeah.
he stirred this idea of like, there's more to this world than what we know. And I appreciate that about King.
Yeah.
Having
yeah.
never read any of his books, cause I'm a scaredy cat and I've only seen one or two of his movies and I'm like, I can't do it.
He was a good writer. But yeah. So anyway, so yeah, that's okay. That's wild.
Job.
What about you, man? What's yours?
Man. So when I was in high school, I started reading and I got in touch with, someone suggested a guy named Stephen R. Lawhead. And he had written a series, the Pendragon series, and it talks about King Arthur and Merlin and that whole kind of thing. And he's a Christian, but he's a writer of fiction. And I read all of his stuff. And so one who grows up with dyslexia, you never think you're going to read. And it was like finally my sophomore year in high school or college, and I'm finishing one of the series, and my roommate was like, you know, you read a lot. I was like, no, I don't. I don't read a lot. He goes, no, seriously, dude. Like, I've seen you. They're like, look at this entire bookshelf is full of books that you've read since we've known each other. You read a lot. And that for me was the first time I'm like, oh, I guess I am a reader.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I never saw myself as a reader. And so thank you, Stephen R. Lawhead.
That's
for
interesting.
Giving me
those,
that's
kind
gift.
Of a random, like, I don't know that name, but I mean.
Yeah. Not many people do.
Nice.
That's all good.
Nice, man.
It's all good.
So I guess for me, it's John Maxwell.
Oh.
And that was more when I was growing out than when I was growing up. But when I would used to, in between my moments of being in full-time ministry and kind of serving and doing bivocational and all those, I would listen to John Maxwell's books.
Yes.
While I would roll walls with paint and things like that. And I'm like stopping and like crying. I'm like, why is this
books
guy?
On tape.
Books on tape,
yes.
Or on CD.
Yes.
Or even on MP3s. And I don't know what they're, I mean, they're, again, now whatever. But I would do that. And I remember the day that I met him. And
you got to meet
him? I got to meet him, yeah. So it's funny because I was at this conference really, really quick. I was at this conference, and it was like a leadership conference. And my buddy's like, hey, I got you some seats right over here on the side. I'm like, oh, it's on the side. Like, I'm not going to get to see.
Right.
And like literally I'm sitting here, and then like the next row up, two seats over, John Maxwell sits down, and I'm like, shut up.
That's my Bono. That's my Bono.
And so I was like, so at the very end, I met him. And what was crazy because my grandparents, they weren't believers,
right?
At least not to my knowledge. I hope that they were, but they just never proclaimed that faith to me. And so what I'd realized is I finally got a chance to meet him, and I was like, man, I brought him this one book that I loved, and I was like, hey, just gonna see if you could sign this for me. And
right,
he's like, oh, I'd love to, you know, that big old deep voice.
Oh yeah.
And I start telling him about what he's done in my life, and I just start crying because I'm not a big crier. Okay, that's a lie.
I was going to say that's an absolute lie.
But I remember, and I met him, and halfway through the conversation, I couldn't talk, and he just grabs me and gives me the biggest bear hug.
Shut up.
And I realized in that moment that he had, like, grandfathered me.
Wow.
Does that make sense? Like, spiritually grandfathered. Like
yes.
The old guy that you would get those going, taking you fishing
nuggets
or whatever.
Of wisdom and
yeah.
Everything else.
And so
yes.
He's like, oh, Bill, you know. And so he just gives me this hug, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yes, so I'm a huge John Maxwell fan.
What a great experience to meet your idol and have him meet all of your expectations and exceed them.
Which is weird because usually like, oh, they're not going to be that guy.
Right,
he was amazing.
Man.
He was amazing. So.
John Maxwell, thank you for the gifts you've brought to the church and to many believers across this fruited plains and beyond.
The fruited plains.
The fruit.
I want to like salute right now. I want to like put my hand on the heart.
God
the fruited
bless
plains.
America.
But we do have a guest on right now.
We do.
Who I'd love to ask this question. He's like, hey, you guys didn't even tell me this question, but that's okay. It is my friend Jeremy Anthony.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, here we are.
So nice to see you, brother. Jeremy works for Soldiers for Faith. And so, man, who actually I'm in partner with, we are in partner with for
Correct.
Soldiers for Faith.
Correct.
But, Jeremy, do you have an author that you resonate with?
You know, I was thinking about that as you guys were talking. But one of the things that came to my mind was Jack Hayford. I love some of his stuff. Church on the Way out in Van Nuys. LA, where I've spent the last 20 years. He's got some great material out there. But when you were talking about John Maxwell, what it reminded me of the time when I ran into him, and it was at a big conference. And, you know, when you've read somebody's material and you really appreciate them, like you talked about with John Maxwell, you when you meet them in person, you're hoping that they're not
yes.
a jerk.
Yes.
You know, you meet somebody, you know, and you have stories. Your son meets, you know, some hockey player that he loves, and the guy's a complete jerk, and you're like,
right.
So I ran into him at this conference, and it was totally. I think he had come out of the bathroom. Like it was, we're not supposed to be meeting.
yeah.
And I'm thinking this guy should just totally ignore me because. He doesn't know me. He's important. I'm not. And he was so kind to just stop and acknowledge me, say hi. And it wasn't like we had some deep, meaningful conversation, but I was just like, there was just a genuine care. Like he's a guy who cares, who loves people. And even though I'm a nobody and he's a somebody, he treated me with, you know, respect. And so I really appreciated that. And he's got some great material out there.
I
study Bible. Like I bought it for my wife. That's what came to my mind.
That's fantastic. So,
he's your guy as well, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I love how we can, be influenced, through, you know, whether we meet them or just through the words. And,
you know,
that's why I appreciate the book that you wrote, Bill.
Thank you.
If you haven't picked it up yet, I would encourage you guys to pick up the book. Because, again, you're influencing people that you may never meet. But the words that God has put in your heart and in your mind to share through that written text can influence and impact them beyond our wildest imaginations.
Man, thank you so much for saying that. I know you can get them at morethanyoubook.com. That's a cheap, shameless thing, but okay. But I do appreciate you saying that. Thank you for your kind words. But good thing it's our show, so we can do that. It's okay. But Jeremy, thank you so much for being on today, man. Share a little bit about your story, where you started, because, you know, I've known Jeremy for about 6 months to a year, I think, at this point. And man, just getting to meet him and hear his story, and I'm like, oh, I got to get this guy on.
Yeah.
Because of his step of faith and just where you started, you know, in California and then moving to Nashville. So share some of your story about your kind of where you've been from, where you're from.
Yeah, well, that's I'll give you the short version here, because I was born in Minnesota. So you're talking about cold earlier. And yeah, the difference in cold, California cold, Minnesota cold.
Yeah.
Kind of different world there. Born in Minnesota when I was about 7, we moved to New Zealand. So I actually grew up in New Zealand. We moved to an island off the coast of New Zealand. So kind of a picture like Lord of the Flies, but with adult supervision, like middle of nowhere. You got to swim with the stingrays and the sharks and the dolphins and eels in the stream. Anyway, lived in New Zealand for most of my growing up, went to school in New Zealand, went to college, degree in computer science, started working for a big software company, but always knew God had a call over my life to be in ministry. Ended up moving back to Minnesota, where I went to Bible school. And just because I felt like that's what God was leading me, thought I was going to end up there, but ended up in LA after that time, working at a large church there as a youth and college pastor. So there's a quick catch up to where I got to LA.
Yep.
Thought I would live there for most of my life, and then God.
Wow. That's amazing. Keep on going. Share that story a little more, because I would love to know kind of where you were from there, from California on.
Yeah. So I had been in ministry there with I was in ministry with a large church. It was great. Good ministry. Enjoyed it. But I wrestled with the size and whether or not we are really doing community well and discipleship well. So I just felt, I remember one Sunday I was standing at the back of the church and I knew, you know, I mean, I would teach, I'm the college youth pastor. I mean, I know a lot of people, but I'm standing at the back of church and I'm going, who are all these people, you know? And what made me sad, because I thought, are we reaching them or are they just coming for this event? You know? It grasped it, the number of people who would sit in church and kind of do nothing, you know, and I knew a lot of people in the church, and I'd sit there some Sundays and I'd think, you know, I know personally 20 men in this church who are excellent teachers, and they come here every Sunday and they just sit here, you know? And I thought, it's just, I don't know, that just, you know, God does things in big churches and little churches, but that just stirred me. And we ended up planting a church in LA.
Yes.
Kicked that off. Loved, thought that that would be, went through the initial church plant wrestling of like, you know, am I going to be able to have a salary? Am I going to feed my family?
I know that one well.
You know, those feelings. Are there going to be more people on stage than in the congregation this morning? You know? but things started to move and grow. And we moved from one place to another. And really started to find our way. Probably about 5 years into it, we had an opportunity to merge with another church, an older pastor that we had met. He was going to retire, and we needed a bigger place, and he had a bigger place. And yep. Of course, it's LA, so it's not like, you know, there's property everywhere. So we were excited, and he said, why don't you come? Let's join the churches together. I'm going to retire. You can take over our facilities. Everything was paid off. I mean, this is like a pastor's dream, right? You got this multi-million dollar property and it's all paid off. And you
it's,
know,
it's a dream until it becomes a nightmare, man. It's a dream until it becomes a nightmare.
Yeah. There you go. Yes. And so speaking of dreams and nightmares, so we started moving towards it. We had a younger congregation. He had an older congregation. I mean, everything just looked like it was going to fit, you know? I met with his board. We started making plans to like, what's this going to look like? How are we going to do this? You know, talk to my, my leadership team. I thought this is where we're going. My wife was your wife sometimes knows things that you don't.
We talk about that all the time, how the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like our wife's voice most of the time.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that was the case. She was a little, I don't know. But I'm like, what's to know, babe? This is the dream, you know. So in the midst of that, we're making plans. We're looking, and like I said, we needed a place. And I have a dream. And in the dream, so I had a very good relationship with my dad. He was a great dad. He was a pastor, a Bible school teacher, but very authentic. Like the guy I saw on Sunday was the same guy I saw on Monday. I think that's so important.
Huge, huge.
And I never felt like I was second to the church. I always felt like I was his priority. So there's a message for people in ministry. I think those are two key things to having your kids. Cause you know, I'm a pastor's kids and a missionary kid and I still love Jesus. Right. So he did something right.
Yep.
But so I had a great relationship with my dad, but he passed away suddenly, had a heart attack when I'd only been married for a year. There's a whole nother story in that. But, I say that because he was a good influence on my life. We'll get to that with one of the five here, but, in this dream, so he's passed away. So in this dream, I'm walking with him and I stop him and I turn to him and I said, hey dad, talking about this church that we're going to merge with, what should I do? And he looks at me and he says, don't do it. And then I wake up and I mean, cold sweats. And
oh my.
I'm like, what is happening? I wake up my wife. I'm like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this. You know, like, I mean, I couldn't, I mean, and I'm not a guy who like, I don't get like lots of dreams. I'm not like a guy who's, you know, God speaks to me that way. Like there may have been a couple, but I mean, that's been the most, I mean, so clear. And it wasn't like there was a lot of interpretation, you know, like,
right, right.
Daniel, some statue, like, what does this mean? Oh, you, Nebuchadnezzar, are the head. You know, it was like, I'm like, don't do it. So, of course, I had to step back and we had to kind of, I had to tell this other pastor and them, I'm like, hey, sorry, I've got to step away. He's like, did we do something? What's happened? What's wrong? You know, he wanted to retire. And I was like, no, I told him, you know, and I don't know why, but I have to step away from this. And so we stepped away and I wrestled with that. I probably for the next 6 to 9 months, like, you know, begged God to give me another dream.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, where my dad says, go at it.
You know, but that really kind of started this process of what you brought up, Bill, of me going, it was probably a little bit after that, that, because of course, as a church, we still needed to figure out, you know, we need to find another place. We've, you know, outgrown our current facility, and how it works. And so, I was wrestling in that about that time, I felt like God put on my heart, and there were some other things going on too. Obviously there's always, you know, several, you know, things happening. God, I felt like God said, I'm moving you. And specifically to this area, to Nashville, which I wrestled with. I loved LA. A lot of people say, did you escape LA? And I'm like, I didn't escape anything. I mean, I disagree with a lot of the politics there, but like, we need Jesus in the dark places.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't need to escape. Like, heaven, we'll get to heaven someday. Like, in the meantime, I want to be where we can take as many people with us as possible, right?
Amen.
And I thought I would do ministry. I told you I'd worked for a large church. We developed a network of youth pastors and college pastors, and that's where I had been so connected. And of course, planning a church and the teams and people and relationships. And so, and yet I felt like God saying, I'm moving you. And so we really had to wrestle with that. Like, what is that? I never expected it. And it was a process. It was definitely not it was not like just a one-time word, you know, like, and it was like, okay, what do we do with that? What does that mean? Why? What do we do with the church? Right? Like,
yeah.
What do we do with the relationships? Her family was there. My wife, born and raised there. You know, I mean, you know my story. I moved all over, but that's where she had lived her whole life.
Oh yeah,
So that kind of started our journey, if you will, to ultimately to Nashville.
So how did your two questions? One is, I would love to know about the relationship with Soldiers of Faith.
Soldiers for Faith.
For Faith. And how you cultivated that, or how God cultivated that for you. But even more importantly, I feel like God has given you a spirit of adventure and of bold steps of faith. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, as a church planter myself, starting a church, I tell people, man, if there's anything else you can do for the kingdom, do that.
Do it.
Do that, because it will wreck you in ways that you are unexpected, and it will challenge you and your faith in ways that are, in hindsight, beautiful. But when you're going through it, it is brutal. So, like David, he was prepared for his battle with Goliath through his encounters with the lions and the bears and, oh my, all that stuff.
Yeah.
For you in your life, as you look back, what were some pivotal moments that God was forging your ability to take these bold steps of faith, to leave LA, to move to Nashville? Good to know that In-N-Out Burger is still in Nashville. But I would love to know kind of that story as well.
I never wanted to plant a church. That was, if you had asked me growing up, plant a church, I would be like, nope, have no desire. You say bold steps of faith. They don't feel like bold steps to me. I'll say that. I don't see myself as a real bold kind of guy. You know, I'm not the kind of Jim Elliot, like, go down to the jungle and be like, hey, let's preach to the Indians. I guess for me, it's been more of a, and maybe just how God's, worked in me. It's been more of a process. Right. I think obviously some of my experiences as a kid, being my parents being missionaries and my dad being a pastor and watching God move and watching things happen in our lives. I remember the first time we moved to New Zealand, my dad called the airline because we're missionaries, it's not like there's a ton of money in ministry.
Right.
At least the good ones. Maybe.
For some of us.
Yeah, exactly.
For some of
exactly.
Us.
Yes,
for some people, I'm like, wow.
You can make a donation to Known Legacy. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Another shameless plug. Fantastic.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But, and so we didn't have much money. And he called up the, back in those days when you had a travel agent, right? He called the travel agent and he said, hey, listen, I need to get my family to New Zealand. And I've only got this is how much money I have. And they're like, well, I'm like, sorry.
You can buy a rowboat, like, I think.
Yeah.
At that point.
Like, you gotta get New Zealand on that. And so she puts the information into her computer. She's like, okay. There's some special running. Yeah, we can do that.
What?
Right. My dad's cool. Like, there you go. So, I mean, I'd grown up, seeing God move and being comfortable moving to different places, having been, taken there by the Lord. And one of the great things my dad did with us as a family is whenever we would move, before we would move, he would sit us all down and he would say, I want you to pray about it, and we're going to make this decision as a family. And that was really smart. For one, again, I reference feeling the priority, not like I'm secondary to ministry. But two, we would go to these places. Like, I remember the second time we went to New Zealand three times. I was there for like 15 years. The second time, I remember, like, I didn't like it. And I remember crying myself to sleep at night, and I was probably 12 years old, we're in there, but I wasn't upset with my parents. I was angry at God. Yeah. because he was the one who made us go there, and I think that's right. Like, I had agreed, like, yes, God's calling us to do this. So now when I'm struggling and I'm wrestling, why am I here? I don't like it. I'm upset with him, which is good. Like, he wants me to be honest. He wants me to bring that, like, frustration. Like, why are you doing this? What are you doing to him? So I think definitely having that, growing up that way, definitely was preparing me for God to say to us, hey, uproot your family and move to Nashville, where you don't really know anybody.
I love it because it's this idea of modeling obedience to the Father affects the generations to come. Mm. And as dads and some of the guys on this podcast that are listening in right now, there may be something God's calling you to be obedient in. And you're thinking, this is going to hurt. This is going to be hard. But again, we're teaching the next generation what it looks like to be obedient to a loving Father who, even though it may be a struggle in the short term, in the long term, the blessings can be overwhelming.
So it's almost like invite them into the conversation. Don't just let them be just, you know, visitors in the journey.
I am the Father, so I have spoken, and this is what we must do.
Invite them in. I love that your dad did that and modeled that example, that where you're like, I'm angry at God, not my parents.
Right.
And not to say God takes the bullets and I'll be like, no, I know that God called us here, but I'm still wrestling with the Father right now. And so I love that. I love that.
So how'd you get involved as Soldiers for Faith?
Yeah. So fast forward, we eventually, through some several cool situations, because when we first came out to Nashville, I flew out here with my wife and just to kind of pray about it, you know, just the two of us. And we got back to LA and she's like, nah, I'm good. And so it took a process of about five years or so before we actually got out here. Wow. I wish we had bought a house 5 years before, because I could have retired. But anyway, God in his wisdom. So we moved out here, and we didn't have we just had a little bit of money in savings. We'd gotten into a house here that I'd kept while I had my job pastoring in LA. We'd gotten into a house out here, and we moved out here, but we didn't have a job. We didn't have neither of us did. It was just like, well, Lord, we've got some savings, and we need you to connect us with a church. And I thought we would get connected to a church, and I would just start working at a church. That's what I was comfortable doing. So I started looking around, and the very first church that we started going to, I got to know the pastor. I had known the worship leader, and really liked him. It was a bigger church. And within a couple of months, he said to me, hey, why don't you come? We need somebody on staff to do this role. I'm like, great. I need a job. And so I'm interviewing with the church, and I'm thinking, this is what God's got next for me. And it was very comfortable. And it was very much kind of what I, you know, and like I said, I need a job, and it's a big church. And as you know, one of the advantages of bigger churches is you're not wondering if you're going to get paid. I thought that's where I was going. And it's funny, because now that I think about it, I met with another, during that time, I met with another pastor friend, I didn't know him very well, actually. And he was praying for me. And when he was praying for me, he was like, because I had told him I'm interviewing, because I thought I was a few weeks away from getting hired. And so I had shared with him, and he was praying with me, and I remember him praying, and God, something along the lines of, and if you're going to do something different that's not what he's expecting, then do that. Or, you know, something along those lines, you know, a little prophetic, you know, maybe. And I rejected it, like in my heart, right? He's praying, and I'm like, nope. Not happening. I've got my plan, right? We've come out here. It was already a big step to get out here. I'm interviewing with this church. Everything looks good. My friend's the lead pastor there. Like, this is the way we're going, you know, or at least at that branch. Like, I'm good. I don't need God to interrupt again. But he did. So I got, I'm about probably two or three weeks away, I'm thinking, from getting hired. And Kelly, who's, you know, oversees Soldiers for Faith.
Yeah, because we've had him on the podcast a few times.
Yeah, he's okay, great. Yeah. Great man.
He's an awesome man. And he pulled me into a board meeting. He said, I had started a study in Mozambique, totally random. But I had started, I had a friend there as a missionary, and I had reached out to her and connected, and I knew some of what she was doing. I said, hey, why don't I do a study with some of your young men that she was doing discipleship with? I can just do it over Zoom. I had time. And so I started this study in Mozambique. And so Kelly knew about that. I get called into, he says, why don't you come? What are you doing this afternoon? Why don't you come into, he was having a board meeting. I really don't know almost anything at this point of soldiers. I'd been going to a Bible study that I'd been invited to, that Kelly was leading in person, from my, a hockey dad. My son plays hockey. It was a hockey dad who was a Mormon. And he invited me to a Bible study.
Huh.
Right? Yeah. And it was the study that Kelly was leading. And so I don't know really too much about anything here other than I'm going to this Bible study and I like Kelly. He seems to be a good man. And so he invites me into this meeting. And afterwards, you know, he says, share with us what you're doing. And I share a little bit about this Bible study in Mozambique. And afterwards he says, hey, basically he says, why don't you do this for us? And I was like, I was like, what? and I went home to my wife and I said, honey, I think I have a job. And she says, she said, well, did you say yes? And I said, babe, I didn't say anything. I didn't know what was going on. Like, I was like, in the next morning, Kelly calls me and he's like, hey, I never really asked you if you wanted the job, but like, you know,
I love it. I love that. And I feel like, and it makes me think about, never underestimate the moments in between your waiting.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's so many things that you could have been like, nah, that's nothing or whatever. But I think, guys, I still see the sovereign hand of God in all this. Like, there was what appeared to be wandering for a long time. Of what the heck are you doing? Amen.
Right.
Into God going, hey, I had one conversation from another individual that was like Chad was talking about in his story, where when he first, Chad Mattson from Unspoken, yeah, had shared that when he went on his missionary journey, or, you know, his mission, he's not Paul, but anyway, when he went down to the Dominican Republic, half of his money was supplied by a gay, Hindu, who was like, hey, I just want to give you money for this. And so
God does amazing things.
God does, and I love that. Like that's the story that we shouldn't underestimate the moments in our day to day. I love that. So
because you had fostered a posture of obedience.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And what I love is like I felt like that church that was kind of working with you twice now, two different churches that were kind of the lifeboat.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, okay, I can get in this and I can be safe and I can weather whatever's ahead. And God's like, I'm using that to get you where I want you to go, and it's going to be different. And it may take a little bit more swimming, and it may take a little bit more desperation, but I am a God, and I desire your obedience. And
yeah,
so just be obedient in this situation. Yeah. And I love that posture, man. Man, I need that more in my life. That's fantastic.
I love that.
No, that's really good. What you're, I think, you know, one of the things I encourage guys with, and then I look back over that area, I'm doing this study in Mozambique. There's nothing in it. Right. There's not, I'm just doing it because I'm feeling like it's the right thing to do, and just be obedient. And here that ends up opening the door for what would turn into what is now been an amazing run, an amazing season with Soldiers for Faith. So
really quick, tell me kind of what you do now, because for people who are listening, and we've had this conversation, but you basically direct all the studies, correct? Like you kind of, I wouldn't say facilitate, but you make sure that they're happening on the week in and week out, correct?
Yeah, I kind of pastoral oversight. So trying to connect with the different people who are running the study, some of the logistics, some of the growth, where areas that we can grow studies, some training for some of our facilities. As you know, with Kelly's been on there, I mean, the thing's kind of just grown, you know, it's just taken on a life of its own in senses, which happens when God gets, you know, when God's moving.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, it intrigues me because, like, how many people are in the Soldiers for Faith studies right now?
Oh, I should probably know these numbers, right? I think every week it's 1,000 to 2,000, I want to say, who are actively in the studies, right? There's more than that we're ministering to. I mean, some of the things that we're doing, I mean, internationally, you know, we do some of our studies. We'll have hundreds of people in these studies, which is not our goal. We prefer the smaller group discipleship.
So there's a guy listening, let's say, and he's being stirred by the Spirit to say, man, you got to get into a Bible study. And maybe there's nothing that's connecting as church, or maybe the church is lax in the discipleship approach in the first place, which unfortunately is entirely too
rampant within our church.
Yeah. How would a guy get involved in this? Is it for a specific type of person, or is it for anyone? Like, talk us through that a little bit.
That's great. That's great. Well, there's a couple ways. First of all, obviously, going to the website, you can see all the Bible studies there. I would say that, you know, depending on where they are in their faith, if they're just kind of like, hey, I just need to grow a little bit here, I need to push myself a little bit, our call-in studies, they're so easy to get on. And it's such, that's one of the things I love about it, right? There's no, like, the barrier to entry is like next to nothing, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, pick up the phone. You can be working out. You can be mowing your yard. I mean, you can be doing almost anything. Jump on a call and do it consistently, and you'll just start to see how the Word of God works on you. That's my first thing would be, if you're just at that point where you're just like, I need to grow a little bit in understanding His Word. I need to just push myself a little bit, but I don't have a lot of time. Maybe I can't get out to the Wednesday night study at church or whatever, which, by the way, if you can, go do that.
Right.
Hey, get on a phone call. Like, just get on. You'll find, it's amazing. You'll find you develop relationships. And if that's not where you are to begin with, you just want to listen in quietly, then do that. So we love that about the ministry and kind of our call-in studies. The next level, I would say, for those who are like, maybe you know the Lord, you're walking with Him, and you just need to find more places to, like, as an outlet, right? Where then I'd say, let's get you into one of our international studies, and let's get you, and maybe this will stretch some people, but trust me, you know more than you think. If you've been in America sitting in church for any length of time, we're working with people who, some of them don't even have Bibles, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. Like in Mozambique, you know, we tell them about the rainbow and they're like, I thought the rainbow was evil. You know, I thought it was,
Wow. That's
discussion here, I guess, that may be a bad example, but
no, it's a good example.
but they, you know, because they've been taught culturally that it's that where it ends at the end of the rainbow is like all these snakes and it's wicked and it's evil, right? And you can just see the devil taking and perverting something that God was a sign of God's covenant and love for us, and that He's not going to destroy the world with the flood again to Noah. So I just say that if you've been sitting in church, and you know, and I think people have a lot more to give, so get involved, and we'll walk you through the process of how you can help lead and facilitate a study, either a study here or in another country. It's an incredible, there's some incredible opportunities.
So. I love it.
That's fantastic.
Man, I it's funny because I mean, you know, as we're ending up the show, it's like I want to have you on again and hear more about your journey in all over in, like, you know, Hobbit land over there in New Zealand and all that kind of stuff. I mean, anything before we jump into the Fast Five, like, final things, because I love this call to action, because we see so many lonely people. Again, so you can sign up in the study. You can be involved. Is there anything else that they can do with Soldiers for Faith, you know, to help out, to be a part of it? Any final things with that?
Yeah, I mean, those are the main things. Get a hold of us, you know. I'm trying to think, you know, we have some prayer calls that are going on as well. Just want to get prayer. You can be part of those. That's another area of the ministry. I think that's probably,
no, that's good.
I love it.
I think that's enough.
I love the fact that, like, first off, there's no excuse. Like, if you find that you're alone in your faith, you don't have to be alone in your faith. There's an opportunity for you to do that. If you feel like God's calling you to some sort of obedience, you don't have clarity on it, maybe the first step of obedience is just to be a part of a local Bible study, a local discipleship group, or maybe it's something through Soldiers for Faith, where you're just sitting in the feet of the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And allow Him to, on His timetable, stir you in the direction that He's calling you to go, to be obedient. And, man, I've met enough guys with Soldiers for Faith that it is solid stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of pan-denominational from what I can gather. Yeah. It's just getting into the Word, understanding the Word, understanding God and His relationship to us and our relationship to each other and to ourselves, and seeing what God might do through broken vessels like you and me to impact the world that is in desperate need of hope and the promise that we see in the rainbow of a God who is not out to destroy us, but actually is there to give us life, to give us hope, to give us new beginnings, yeah. and to give us forgiveness of sins, which is the greatest news we could ever hear, that you are no longer bound by your mistakes, but you have been forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Christ.
I love it. So we will put the link in the bio to all those Bible studies. There's a bunch on the actual website you can choose through. They're all different todays. And I love it because it's like, it's the one Bible study you could do in your underwear and no one would know. And so I mean, there's
challenge
zero excuse.
Accepted.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Challenge accepted. So we challenge you to show up in your underwear and no, but seriously, we will put that in there. But Jeremy, thank you so much, man. And as we finish up, any final thoughts or comments before we jump into Fast Five?
No, I'm just excited. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I'm with you guys. I think, there's no excuse, right? Whatever reason you're giving why, God's bigger than that. Move beyond it. And sometimes it's just, I just encourage, it's just make a little step. Like, it's not like sometimes the enemy wants it to seem like this huge thing. Like, you're going to have to, even in my life, where you uproot and move somewhere else. No. Just take the small step. Like, you take that small step of obedience, and then God opens up the doors. Like, we're not great people, right?
Right.
We are a hot mess.
Yeah. And then he entered into that and said, now keep coming. And so I think that's, that would be my encouragement.
I love it. I love it,
Jeremy.
It's so cool.
Fantastic.
Well, as we're going into our last segment, the Fast Five.
Here we go.
There it is. I love it. I love it. All right, Jeremy. No, question number one. Who do you most admire and why?
I mentioned it earlier. My dad was a great dad. I could throw my mom in there as well. But, I am fortunate to have had a good dad who loved the Lord and loved us well. And so I am grateful for him. And I'm grateful for the, I'll get choked up here, but I'm grateful for the man who led him to the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
Was faithful. And preached the gospel on an Indian reservation out in Northern California or out in California. And my dad responded to that call. And
we need to have you back on for that story. Yes. So I want to hear that. But that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Number two, where would you like to go for a vacation?
Yeah. You know what? I've always loved to like the Maldives, these kind of like little huts off the water, these tiny little islands. I love just like white sand beaches in the middle of nowhere, tropical weather. Like that would definitely be.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
sounds
it does.
Amazing.
We'll join you there. We'll
exactly.
We'll record a podcast there with you and your family on your vacation.
We're always willing to travel with families.
So if anyone would like to sponsor,
exactly. Awesome. Okay. Number three, what are you currently reading, whether a Bible or another book?
I spend a lot of time in the Bible just because you're doing all these different Bible studies. I like to read church history. There's a good book, Church History in Plain Language, Plain English. I think it's by Shelley. I like just kind of studying what God's done throughout the history of the church.
Nice. Okay, number four, what is a goal you have for this year?
Oh, yeah. So I was trying to remember these questions. a goal I have for this year. I think as the ministry has grown, you find yourself, and because it's a Bible study ministry, so I'm leading Bible studies a lot, it's really easy to just to not be doing it for yourself. Not be sitting with Jesus for no other reason. Like, I just want to read my Bible here. I just want to read it. Just, Lord, what are you saying to me? Not because I need to preach a message, not because, this, but just to kind of sit, as you mentioned earlier, sit at your feet and God, what have you got for me? So I think one of my goals this year is to really be intentional with that time where I'm not, where it's not ministry stuff. It's just me being with Jesus and kind of getting filled up. Because as it's been growing, it's really easy to, they're good things. We're doing good things, right? It's not like I'm running off to the bars, right? I'm running into whatever to do, and so, but I have to stay, you know, with those
Mary.
Times.
It's
Lord.
Mary and Martha. It's that tension that Jesus experienced there in the house of Lazarus, and it's the same tension we have to just find time, carve it out, and just sit at the feet of Jesus and let him teach you what he needs to teach you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Love it. Yeah. Number five, what's the most important, impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
Yeah, well, I'll give you. When I went to Bible school after, you know, I was older when I went to Bible school, which a whole nother story in that. Having I got married a little later. When we graduated, my dad at that time, he'd actually moved back from New Zealand. He was the dean of men, I believe, at the school, at the college. And so he did our commencement speech.
Oh, that's cool.
And which was neat. And so so I'm graduating, excuse me, and I remember what he said. He shared some things, but then he turned around to all of us who were on the stage, you know, all the graduates. And he looked at us and he said, listen, he said, I spent a lot of my life trying to do something for God, thinking that he wanted me to do something for him. And he said, what I wish I had known and what I want you to know is that he wants to do something with you. And that shift of going, I don't need to do something for you. He wants me to do something with him.
Wow.
Then all the pressure's gone. You know, now all the, like, now I'm not having to do it. I'm not, you know, now the results don't matter because I'm doing it with him. And so that just has always just stuck with me. God, I appreciate the heart. I want to do something for you, but like, no, I want to do something with you.
With you. I love it.
Wow.
I mean, that's, I had to finish on a thought. That
man, that's a great way to finish, man. Yeah. Jeremy, thank you so much for being on today. I know it's so good. We always have a good mic drop on every single one of these. I love it. Yeah. So, Jeremy, it's been a blessing having you on. We'll have you on again, man. And, guys, you can check out all of those Bible studies. We'll put the link in the bio for Soldiers for Faith. And, Jeremy, again, thank you so much for being
today.
Guys, thank you so much for listening today, for tuning in. Make sure you share and subscribe. Share this with your friends. We get that all the time.
Yep.
How can we support you guys? Share this with your friends. Subscribe to us and stay connected. Sign up to our email. We will have that link in the bio as well. Travis, any final thoughts?
Man, God bless you guys. Remember, wake up, gear up, and come alive.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.